heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we talk about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. And on this program, we believe in the following. We believe that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. We also believe that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we believe in the definition of faith that comes out of the Bible that says faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. We also believe that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we believe that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we believe that you'll be saved. And on this program, we like to share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Want to let you know that we do have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes, so you can just go to iTunes and check for Everyday Faith Radio, and up will come the previous programs. We also have a website that's mark5ministries.com. You can go there. We load that up with some other videos as well. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we'd love to pray for you. We have several that we're praying for right now, and we continue to lift them up in prayer. Several that are battling against cancer, and we pray for their divine healing. Thanks again for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia and the Valley, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Fluvanna County SPCA will have the annual Whiskers and Wine Party at Thistlegate Vineyard in Scottsville on August 12th from 6 to 8:30. Food, drink, a silent auction, music, and more. Proceeds benefit the Fluvanna County SPCA. For info, visit fcspca.org. Literacy volunteers are needed to tutor local adults in reading, writing, and speaking English. The new tutor training is on August 26th from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Jefferson School City Center. For more info, call 977-3838. The Jefferson Girls Softball League Fall Ball registration is going on now through September 1st. It's open to all girls who live in Albemarle County or Charlottesville from the ages of 4 to 13. For information, email treasurer@jeffersonareagirlssoftball.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is Dr. Joel Jenkins. I'm always excited when the doctor's in the house. Dr. Jenkins, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you so much for inviting me, man. It's just always a pleasure.
Are you having a good summer?
I'm having a very good summer, very busy summer, but we have spent more time on the beach this year than we've ever spent. Spent 2 weeks with one of my daughter's families and 1 week with another one of my daughter's families and then a week with some friends. So, man, I'm just about beached out, but it was fun.
That's good. That's good. I want to share with you a few things that God has kind of been downloading to me, and I want to get your take on that, and then we'll flip it over and hear from you what God has been sharing with you. Dr. Jenkins, I have been in the Gospel of John recently, and it's been so good, I don't want to leave. So the first verse that I want to share with you comes from the 10th chapter. It's verse number 10. So this is John 10:10 from the Amplified Version that says this. It says, The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. These are Jesus' words now. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Gosh, Dr. Jenkins, I've seen both sides of that verse. I've seen and experienced where the thief that Jesus is referring to, I believe he's talking about Satan, the enemy, and that he comes in and he basically, in my life, what he likes to do is whisper lies to me. Lies that will often create bickering, and sometimes they're not huge lies, but they're sometimes, you know, what I feel like in this verse is that it's a relationship killer, that he's coming to get between me and somebody. And if you listen to the wrong voice, if you listen to the voice of the enemy, you get in these fights with people or disagreements with people that are little things that turn into big things. And if you understand that that's the enemy's strategy, but Jesus says, I have come so that you will have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. If you listen to the correct voice, you can have this overflowing life that Jesus is referring to. Does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah, it certainly does, Jeff. And the Gospel of John, for many persons, including myself, if someone were to ask me which one of the books in the New Testament, for instance, is your favorite book, do you spend the most time in? For me, it would be John. Going back to my seminary days, they would say that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of course, are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. And that literally means same. They have so many similarities, and they have some of the same sources. But John's gospel is more theological. It's more Christological. It starts not talking about the birth in Bethlehem, which was reality, mm-hmm. but talking about the Word became flesh mm-hmm. and dwelt among us. And so it just takes us to that level where we really see what Jesus' life is all about. And this text that you mentioned, Jesus was talking about someone he knew personally, mm-hmm. Satan. Mm-hmm. He knew him as his enemy. You know, you go back to when he began his ministry and he was in the wilderness and he was praying to the Father, probably the closest that he and the Father could be as far as the Son on the earth and the Father in heaven. And yet, when he was at his weakest point physically mm-hmm. after denying himself food and nourishment and shelter, Satan comes and he waves in front of him this wonderful scenario. He transported him around and showed him what all he could have if he would only deny the Father and bow before Satan. Mm-hmm. And you notice that the Lord did not say to Satan, oh, you couldn't give me the world. He didn't say that because Satan can give us the world mm-hmm. to a certain degree. So when Jesus is giving us this teaching in John 10:10, he's coming at it from personal experience of how that sounds good, what Satan throws in front of us. It sounds like that should be the truth, mm-hmm. and it sounds like that's to my best interest. But then it always ends up the same way. So we get in this passage, we get the two clearest delineations mm-hmm. of what Satan's up to and the clearest delineation of what Jesus Christ is up to. And the beautiful thing is, when we choose the Lord, when we choose Christ, when we follow Jesus, we do end up in that happy place. Mm-hmm. We end up in that abundant life. Mm-hmm. We end up in that full joy. If we don't, it may be different degrees for different people. Some people may not see themselves as bad people or evil people, but they will never get to that point of the joy that Jesus offered mm-hmm. unless they accept him.
Yes, and until you understand that Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the way, which is where I'm heading to in a moment. But I want to flip to another verse, Dr. Jenkins, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Joel Jenkins. I have spent some time also in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. You and I have some mutual friends who are battling with illnesses, tough situations. And so I'm trying to dig through God's word, trying to find promises that I can share with them. I'm trying to find scripture that can help strengthen them. And we come along Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, where the prophet Isaiah, looking forward to the Messiah, says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness. The punishment for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now, it takes a lot, of faith to accept that. And here the prophet Isaiah is looking off into the future for the Messiah who will come hundreds of years later. But he's saying, by Jesus, by the wounds and stripes on his back, we are healed. And as I share that with friends who are going through some very difficult times, maybe we don't understand everything, but that's where the faith part kicks in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does, Jeff. And I think you touched on it in one respect, but Isaiah was looking ahead. He was a prophet. Now, some would say that the prophet's greatest work was not future telling, but forth telling, giving the truth to their generation. But at the same time, God allowed them to see what he was up to. And I think it encouraged Isaiah in his day, because his world was a tough place. But he realized that, you know, we keep our hands to the plow. God's got this great plan unfolding. Another thing about Isaiah that's so special is that he gave us this view of a Messiah that was going to suffer. That's not the typical view of the coming Messiah.
Right.
That he's going to come in as a king and on the throne, and he's going to put down the enemies with the sword. But this Isaiah version of Christ speaks of the one who's going to come and lay down his life for us. So, Jeff, it's just confirmation to me that Isaiah was actually looking at the right Jesus.
And I have heard back from several of our friends who are going through illnesses, that the fact that they feel as if Jesus, since he suffered, it's a way of sharing in the suffering. The fact that it's not a Messiah who never had to taste his own blood. It's not that case. Our Jesus was beaten and whipped, and the harshest form of punishment, the harshest form of death. And so the fact that we worship a God who would actually come down from heaven onto this earth and go through that suffering for us and with us.
Well, and see, it even goes back to what you were talking about earlier and what I referred to when John says the Word became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. Jesus has walked this ground. Scripture says he's been tempted in every way that we can be tempted. And yet he has resisted the evil one and holds out that for us that we can as well through his power. But the promise of deliverance is not just for eternity through salvation, but it's the work of salvation now. And that includes, I believe, the healings that he promises by faith.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Dr. Joel Jenkins, and it's always great to have you on the program. Before we take a break, Dr. Jenkins, I want to just touch down on Peter's version. Says a very similar thing in his letter in the New Testament. He's looking backwards now to the crucifixion of Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:24, he says, "He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, offered himself on it as an altar of sacrifice so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed."
Wow. And again, I think that's a continuation of the vision that Isaiah had.
Yes.
That this work that God wants to do in our lives, it's not just spiritual. It is that. But it is the complete package. Mm-hmm. It's our emotions, it's our intellect, and it's certainly our flesh.
Mm. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with Dr. Joel Jenkins. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The second annual Barbecue on the Bend competition happens on September 23rd at the Reeling and Rafting Campground next to the Scottsville Public Boat Landing. Gates open at 11 a.m. Tickets are $12 at the gate. Proceeds benefit the James River Boys and Girls Club. Title Max Title Loans is collecting school supplies for all grades at Meriwether Lewis School through August 31st. Drop off your donations Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Title Max on Route 29 just south of Rye Road between Hardee's and Wendy's. On August 19th, Hoover Ridge Park in Madison holds the Fun Field Day Games. This all-day event will feature races, water balloon and egg toss, and more. Plus, they'll have a 100-foot flip and slide. For details, go to hooverridge.com. Proceeds benefit Hoover Ridge Park. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchb.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have Dr. Joel Jenkins. Joel has been just kind of like a mentor to me. I've learned so much from him. In fact, we serve on a couple of boards together, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and every time we're in a meeting together, I end up sitting next to him because I always want to just kind of learn from him and see what he has to say. But also, I believe that God has anointed him, and I just take any of the crumbs that just fall off of you. So thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Jenkins.
Wow, Jeff. It's the first time I think I've ever heard anybody say they enjoy the crumbs that fall off of me. But I'll take that as a compliment.
I want to share with you, I need to kind of go somewhere with you here and get your take on this. And so sometimes my confession to you, Dr. Jenkins, is sometimes when I get to the Old Testament and some of my Bible reading, I sometimes fly through the Old Testament, and there are some of the minor prophets that, you know, some of that reading is kind of hard and it's hard to understand, but I have a verse from Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. I'm just going to read a little piece of this. Is God is speaking through the prophet Hosea. And God is saying that I will make the valley of trouble. Back in those days, it was called the valley of Achor. I will make the valley of trouble a door of hope. And as I meditated on that verse, kind of what came to me is that oftentimes, Dr. Jenkins, we are, we experience tough things in life. There's, as you and I were talking about on this show, is that we have friends going through sickness. We have people that are going through financial difficulties, relationship difficulties, addictions, racial unrest. There's a whole list of things that people are going through. But when you end up in this valley of trouble, which I feel like I've been there, and sometimes you're searching around how to get out. I really feel like that the prophet Hosea here is really giving us a picture of Jesus when he says, I will make the valley of trouble. And some of our listeners right now are going through a valley of trouble, a valley of tough times, a valley of difficult decisions. But down in that valley, there's a door of hope, and I believe that it's a picture of Jesus who will meet us in our valley of trouble. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. I think it also confirms that the same God that we see revealed in the New Testament, more fully revealed in the New Testament, was the same God of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and he would give these prophets these wonderful glimpses, that we can now see more clearly, mm-hmm. looking back through the lens of what God did through Christ. But, for instance, this valley you mentioned that Hosea refers to is an actual place physically. It's not far from Jericho. I've been there a couple of times, and it got its description as the Valley of Trouble because of some of the Israel, their conflicts they had in that valley. And so it became associated with trouble, mm-hmm. even though it's a literal place. But Hosea picks up on the fact that God's going to turn that valley of trouble, and he's going to turn it into hope. He's going to fulfill a good work, mm-hmm. and he's going to do it in the time of trouble, mm-hmm. where really when we see God work in our times of trouble is when we see him the clearest. When we don't go through those valleys of trouble, we tend to be able to, in our own mind, manage things. Mm-hmm. We think it's okay, you know, I got this. But when we go through those valleys of trouble, and it's bigger than we are, mm-hmm. and we see our friends going through things that we just feel like we don't have enough to offer to help them get through that valley. Mm-hmm. And that's when we realize that through faith, God helps us help them get through mm-hmm. that valley. You mentioned Isaiah a while ago, but Isaiah 65 refers to this same valley. Mm-hmm. But it says there that that's the valley of trouble that the herds will lie down in. And so, again, those images are, it's going to become a valley of peace. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a valley where formerly it was nothing but pain and sorrow and agony, but it's going to become a respite. It's going to be that place where I'm going to meet you there, mm-hmm. and through my presence, you will find pure peace.
Let me take you to one more. This is what I was reading today. And it was just a wonderful connection when we go from the Old Testament, the Valley of Trouble, to the Door of Hope. Because oftentimes we wonder in our lives, where is that Door of Hope? I can't find it. And we search through different ways, kind of man-made ways, trying to find our way out. And here, Dr. Jenkins, I want to read to you from John chapter 14. You know this chapter very well. You've preached on it. Let me just read the first few verses here. John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And so it just seems to me confirmation as we roll out of Hosea and we talk about looking for this door of hope. We don't know where the door of hope is. Oftentimes, and I hear from our listeners that they're sometimes, again, when you're dealing with an illness or you're dealing with a financial crisis in your home, it feels like the world is spinning out of control and you just kind of can't get centered and you're trying to find your way out. And here, what Jesus says to us, he says, I am the way. Hmm. I am the truth and the life. And it's just a reminder that we look in so many different directions trying to do it our own way. And Jesus is standing there with his hand out to you saying, come with me. I am the way.
Wow. Well, you have blessed me just by reminding me of those truths, because all of us know people who are going through something. Mm-hmm. I had a friend years ago who did a thesis on his doctoral work with the presumption everyone is going through some kind of crisis. So he sent a letter to 25 of his friends that he made sure he had not had any contact with in at least 5 years. Mm-hmm. But he sent them all the same letter, addressed it to them personally. He said, hey, I just wanted you to know I'm thinking about you with what you're going through. Well, he really didn't know what they were going through. 24 of them responded back and said, man, I can't thank you enough. How did you know? And so I think that's a clear assumption for us as well. Mm-hmm. We meet anybody on the street, and we could say, hey, man, I want you to know I'm thinking about you or what you're going through. And probably most people say, how'd you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a privilege that we have as disciples to come alongside of one another and just keep that focus. Just help each other. Keep that focus, man. Mm-hmm. Don't take your eyes off of the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your eyes off that door. Go through that door.
That's right.
And that door, we know, has a name.
Yes.
And his name is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, it's just exciting to think about that. One other quick thing on that.
Yes.
You know, people sometimes struggle because they say, well, I don't understand the Bible, and I don't wouldn't even know where to find the book of Hosea. And the amazing thing about the way Jesus dealt with people, whether it was the thief on the cross, whether it was Zacchaeus, whether it was Mary Magdalene or whoever it was, the woman at the well, none of those people had the background or the history or the knowledge or had been in any kind of Bible study.
Mm.
But their lives were changed by one thing, and that was meeting him
mm-hmm.
and opening their heart and life to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then other knowledge would come, but it must begin with that faith expression of, Lord, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in you.
Mm-hmm. And we are so fortunate to have God's word that for me, and Dr. Jenkins, you know my story, the fact that, as you mentioned earlier in John chapter 1, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So the fact that we have the word that for me, and I want to encourage our listeners, and many of them do, there's an opportunity to meet with Jesus through reading the Word. There's an experience waiting for you. And let me just ask you, because we're heading towards the end here, Dr. Jenkins, if somebody today is listening to the program and they've never picked up the Bible before. I know I've struggled when I'm a guy who likes to start on page one, and oftentimes in the Bible, that's a hard place to start. It is a starting point, and you've got to get there. But where would you suggest any of our listeners, if they wanted to, this is their first time reading through the Bible, where do they go?
Well, I think you're on to something. I would say two things. I would say Billy Graham's old statement about where he begins every day is in the Psalms.
Mm.
Because the Psalms really kind of lift your heart and lift your spirit. But then he will turn to the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommends John.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to agree with that. If you want to start somewhere, get you a little study guide to go with you. These days on the internet, you can pull up a lot of commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But just find another Christian that you trust and say, hey, can we sit and discuss this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can do it alone. But I believe the Lord wants us as believers to be a brother and a sister to one another. And we share the things we've learned mm-hmm. with those who are coming they're at a beginning point, and mm-hmm. we're a little further along. And we share with them the things God has shown us. But it's got to start first with that initial act of faith. Jesus said, unless you come unto me as a little child,
mm-hmm.
you're never going to see the kingdom.
Amen.
So we don't need to think we have to know it all or be it all or have full understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We just come and basically say, Lord, here am I with all my warts and all my failings. But, Lord, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Show me yourself. Reveal your truth to me. Mm-hmm. And thank you for what you've done for me.
And all we need, all it takes, the Bible says, is just that little mustard
seed of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Dr. Jenkins, you have always been a blessing to me. I am so thankful for your friendship. I want to say to you, to your family, to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Jenkins.
Thank you.
Come restore and make